Welcome to our Divine Office, where we pray with Scripture. Let's pray for the Holy Father's monthly intentions today, first off, that way we can be set up for the plenary intelligence blessing. Bless the Lord, my soul. Never forget all he has done for you. Will be our prayer after those Pope's and prayers, Pope's intentions. Let us pray that the use of the new technologies will not replace human relationships, will respect the dignity of the person, and will help us face the crises of our time. That's a really good one. There's actually a monthly prayer attached to it that elaborates a little more. Lord, good Father, as I look at the world and see men and women working in it and beautifying it, a great thank you springs from my heart. The action of your Spirit amongst us encourages us to grow in the progress of science and technology, in the service of human dignity, for integral and inclusive human development. Because we know you desire the good of all, from the heart of your Church, your Son calls us to ensure that technology does not replace person-to-person contact, that the virtual does not replace the real, and that social networks do not replace social settings. Help us to develop the ability to live wisely, to think deeply, to love generously without losing heart, promoting scientific and technological growth that increasingly aligns with human development in responsibility, values, and awareness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners in this time of technological change. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen. All right, see, it didn't take but a minute. Maybe a minute and a half, and we prayed for the Pope's monthly intentions. Bless the Lord, my soul. Never forget all he has done for you. My soul, give thanks to the Lord. All my being, bless his holy name. Psalm 103 is our prayer. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Luke 1:78, that's our sentence from scripture tradition. My soul, give thanks to the Lord, and never forget all his blessings. It is he who forgives all your guilt, who covers every one of your ills, who redeems your life from the grave, who crowns you with love and compassion, who fills your life with good things, renewing your youth like an eagle's. The Lord does deeds of justice, gives judgment for all who are oppressed. He makes known his ways to Moses and his deeds to Israel's sons. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Bless the Lord, my soul. Never forget all he has done for you. As a father is gentle with his children, so is the Lord with those who revere him. The Lord is compassion and love, slow to anger and rich in mercy. His wrath will come to an end. He will not be angry forever. He does not treat us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our faults. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so strong is his love for those who fear him. So far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sins. As a father has compassion on his sons, the Lord has pity on those who fear him, for he remembers of what we are made. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flowers like the flower of the field. The wind blows and he is gone, and his place never sees him again. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. As a father is gentle with his children, so is the Lord with those who revere him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. As a father is gentle with his children, so is the Lord with those who revere him. Alleluia. Actually, we don't have hallelujahs during Lent. Silly Dana. Bless the Lord, all you his works. But the love of the Lord is everlasting upon those who hold him in fear. His justice reaches out to children's children when they keep his covenant in truth, when they keep his will in their mind. The Lord has set his sway in heaven, and his kingdom is ruling over all. Give thanks to the Lord, all his angels, mighty in power, fulfilling his word, who heed the voice of his word. Give thanks to the Lord, all his hosts, his servants who do his will. Give thanks to the Lord, all his works, in every place where he rules. My soul, give thanks to the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Have compassion on us, make us recognize our sinfulness, and lead us to yourself. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Father, pour out the Father's love on us and remove our sins as far away from us and from our behaviors as the East is from the West this Lent. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Bless the Lord, all you his works. Now we've been journeying through ancient Israel's law, which also narrates its taking of the Promised Land. And of course, we can identify the Promised Land with the new resurrected life that Christ will give us. If we do our work to become a saint this Lent, we can also identify it with heaven, that's in the New Testament, and with the resurrected life that we are passing over into. So you see how this works? We tell the story, but we apply it in a spiritualized way to the allegory of our journey back to paradise. And our second reading is going to teach us how to do that. St. Leo the Great is going to teach us how to do that in the tradition of the Church. Whoever meditates on the law of the Lord will bring forth much fruit at harvest time. A reading from the book of Numbers, 12:16-13, 3:17-33. A scouting party is sent to Cana. The people set out from Hazeroth and encamped in the desert of Parthen. The Lord said to Moses, "Send men to recon the land of Cana, which I am giving to the Israelites. You shall send one man from each ancestral tribe, all of them princes." So Moses dispatched them from the desert of Parthen, as the Lord had ordered. All of them were leaders among the Israelites. In sending them to recon the land of Cana, Moses said to them, "Go up here in the Negev, up into the highlands, and see what kind of land it is. Are the people living in the land weak or strong, few or many? Is the country in which they live good or bad? Are the towns in which they dwell open or fortified? Is the soil fertile or barren, wooded or clear? And do your best to get some of the fruits of the land." It was then the season for early grapes. So they went up and reconned the land from the desert of Zin as far as where Rehob adjoins Labo of Hamath, or Hamath. Going up the way by way of the Negev, they reached Hebron, where Ahithema, Shehalmatha, and Talmatha, descendants of the Anikim, there's a syllable I'm not getting there, were living. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoran in Egypt. They also reached the Wadi Eshcol, where they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes on it, which two of them carried on a pole, as well as some pomegranates and figs. It was because of the cluster the Israelites cut there that they called the place Wadi Eshcol. After reconning the land for 40 days, they returned and met Moses and Aaron and the whole community of the Israelites in the desert of Parthen at Kadesh, made a report to them all, and showed them the fruit of the country. They told Moses, "We went into the land to which you sent us. It does indeed flow with milk and honey, and here is its fruit. However, the people who are living in the land are fierce, and the towns are fortified and very strong. Besides, we saw descendants of the Anakim there. Amalekites live in the region of the Negev. Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the highlands, and Canaanites along the seacoast and the banks of the Jordan." Caleb, however, to quiet the people toward Moses, said, "We ought to go up and seize the land, for we can certainly do so." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We cannot attack these people. They are too strong for us." So they spread discouraging reports among the Israelites about the land they had scouted, saying, "The land that we explored is a country that consumes its inhabitants, and all the people we saw there are huge men, veritable giants." The Anakim were a race of giants. "We felt like mere grasshoppers, and so we must have seemed to them." Responsory prayer. The Lord your God carried you in the desert as a man carries his child, but still you would not trust him. You refused to go up to the land he had promised you. You defied the Lord your God, but still you would not trust him. And God, I think, is so merciful with us, because in our own lives, we're afraid to enter vocations, we're afraid to go outside our comfort zone and trust God to act. Anyway, Pope Leo the Great is going to teach us now from the tradition of the Church, contemplating the Lord's Passion. True reverence for the Lord's Passion means fixing the eyes of our heart on Jesus crucified and recognizing in him our own humanity. The earth, our earthly nature, should tremble at the suffering of its Redeemer. The rocks, the hearts of unbelievers, should burst asunder. The dead, imprisoned in the tombs of their mortality, should come forth. The massive stones now ripped apart, foreshadowing of the future resurrection, should appear in the whole holy city. The Church of God, what has happened to our bodies, should now take place in our hearts. No one, however weak, is denied a share in the victory of the cross. No one is beyond the help of the prayer of Christ. His prayer brought benefit to the multitude that raged against him. How much more does it bring to those who turn to him in repentance? Ignorance has been destroyed. Obstinacy has been overcome. The sacred blood of Christ has quenched the flaming sword that barred access to the tree of life. The age-old night of sin has given way to the true light. The Christian people are invited to share the riches of paradise. All who have been reborn have the way open before them to return to their native land from which they had been exiled, unless indeed they close off for themselves the path that could be opened before the faith of a thief. The business of this life should not preoccupy us with its anxiety and pride, so that we no longer strive with all the love of our heart to be like our Redeemer and to follow his example. Everything that he did or suffered was for our salvation. He wanted his body to share the goodness of its head. first of all in taking our human nature while remaining God, so that the Word became man. He left no member of the human race, the unbeliever exempted, without a share in his mercy. Who does not share a common nature with Christ, if he has welcomed Christ, who took our nature and is reborn in the Spirit, through whom Christ was conceived, through whom Christ was conceived? Again, who cannot recognize in Christ his own infirmities? Who would not recognize that Christ's eating and sleeping, his sadness and his shedding of tears, are marks of the nature of a slave? It was this nature of a slave that had to be healed of its ancient wounds and cleansed of the defilement of sin. For that reason, the only begotten Son of God became also the Son of Man. He was to have both the reality of a human nature and the fullness of the Godhead. The body that lay lifeless in the tomb is ours. The body that rose again on the third day is ours. The body that ascended above the heights of heaven to the right hand of the Father of glory, the Father's glory, is ours. If then we walk in the way of his commandments and are not ashamed to acknowledge the price he paid for our salvation in a lowly body, we too are to rise to share his glory. The promise he made will be fulfilled in the sight of all. Whosoever acknowledges me before men, I too will acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. So it's kind of mind-boggling, all the different parts of the gospel that he's touched on, all the parts of the New Testament, the Old Testament, that he brought together into this image of, okay, we're celebrating Easter, and he's doing like a homily or a sermon on the end of Matthew's gospel, when there's mention that many of the dead saints who had fallen asleep resurrected and appeared to many, testifying to Christ. Let's pray the responsory prayer. To those who are on the way to destruction, the message of the cross is foolishness, but we who are on the path of salvation see it as the proof of Christ's power. We preach a crucified Christ, an obstacle to the Jews, sheer madness to the Gentiles, but we who are on the way to salvation see it as the proof of God's power. So I pray that we will be able to take in St. Leo's instruction with its many different interwoven facets about how to reach the promised land of the new life of Christ in Easter, have a renewed life, and that we'll be able to gain not only wisdom of heart, but meditate and get spiritual direction from it for today, for this day of Lent. Let's take a moment of silence to consider that. All right, we're going to read morning prayer. We're going to pray through morning prayer, knowing that that was really our central point, in a sense, was the lesson from Scripture and tradition, especially since we're kind of doing this also to get a plenary indulgence through half an hour of reflection on sacred Scripture. My heart is ready, O God, my heart is ready. My heart is ready, O God. I will sing your praise. Awake, my soul, awake, lyre and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will thank you, Lord, among the peoples, among the nations. I will praise you, for your love reaches to the heavens and your truth to the skies. O God, arise above the heavens. May your glory shine on earth. O come and deliver your friends. Help with your right hand and reply. From his holy place, God has made this promise. I will triumph and divide the land of Shechem. I will measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh. Ephraim I take for my helmet, Judah for my commander's staff. Moab I will use for my washbowl. On Edom I will plant my shoe. Over the Philistines I will shout in triumph. But who will lead me to conquer the fortress? Who will bring me face to face with Edom? Will you utterly reject us, O God, and no longer march with our armies? Give us help against the foe, for the help of man is vain. With God we shall do bravely, and he will trample down our foes. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So it's a call to praise God. It's pleading for help, and it's also recalling how God fought for the people when they went to their land, to get their land, and promises to continue to fight for them. My heart is ready, O God, my heart is ready. Be true to your name, O Lord, and preserve my life. See my affliction and save me, for I remember your law. Uphold my cause and defend me. By your promise, give me life. Salvation is far from the wicked, who are heedless of your commands. Numberless, Lord, are your mercies. With your decrees, give me life. Though my foes and oppressors are countless, I have not swerved from your will. I look to the faithless with disgust. They ignore your promise. See how I love your precepts. In your mercy, give me life. Your word is founded on truth. Your decrees are eternal. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be true to your name, O Lord, and preserve my life. At daybreak, be merciful to me, O Lord. Lord, listen to my prayer. Turn your ear to my appeal. You are faithful. You are just. Give answer. Do not call your servant to judgment, for no one is just in your sight. The enemy pursues my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness, like the dead, long forgotten. Therefore my spirit fails, my heart is numb within me. I remember the days that are past. I ponder all your works. I muse on what your hand has wrought, and to you I stretch out my hands. Like a parched land, my soul thirsts for you. Lord, make haste and answer, for my spirit fails within me. Do not hide your face, lest I become like those in the grave. In the morning, let me know your love, for I put my trust in you. Make me know the way I should walk. To you I lift up my soul. Rescue me, Lord, from my enemies. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will. For you, O God, are my God. You, O Lord, are my God. Let your good spirit guide me in ways that are level and smooth. For your name's sake, Lord, save my life. In your justice, save my soul from distress. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from the Holy Spirit, give us the Holy Spirit, his wisdom, and his comfort and illumination. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. At daybreak, be merciful to me, O Lord. Pray for us, Holy Mother of God. A very short reading from 1 Kings. We are your people, O Lord, and your inheritance. Thus may your eyes be open to the petition of your servant and to the petition of your people Israel. Hear us whenever we call upon you, because you have set us apart from all the peoples of the earth for your inheritance. God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare, from those who would trap me with lying words, and from the hunter's snare. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare. John bore testimony to the truth, and although I have no need of human testimony, says the Lord, I remind you of this for your own salvation. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. John bore testimony to the truth, and although I have no need of human testimony, says the Lord, I remind you of this for your own salvation. God has revealed himself in Christ. Let us praise his goodness and ask him from our hearts. Remember us, Lord, for we are your children. Teach us to enter more deeply into the mystery of the church, that it may be effective for our salvation, for ourselves and for the world as the sacrament of salvation. Lover of mankind, inspire us to work for human progress, seeking to spread your kingdom in all we do. May our hearts thirst for Christ, the fountain of living water. Forgive our sins and direct our steps all into the ways of justice and sincerity. Teach us to be forgiving to others and to be instruments of unity and peace in the communities that we live in. We're again going to pray. Let's pray for Father Jim's intentions. Perhaps he's having a hard time. Also pray for the Pope. Certainly his suffering will benefit the church spiritually. As we approach one of this, what I think is a very privileged and special Easter, praying for Father Rob to be able to touch many young hearts, young and old, but also especially his apostolate to the young this year. Praying for Bill and Henry and all of you. Remember us, Lord, for we are your children. Gathering prayers and praises into one, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Merciful Father, may the penance of our Lenten observance make us your obedient people. May the love within us be seen in what we do and lead us to the joy of Easter. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. So again, we could do a little reading on the Lord's Prayer, because the Catechism has awesome golden wisdom for us on that golden stuff. But I offer my partial or plenary indulgence or equivalent graces for a soul in purgatory that our Lord has chosen, whoever that is, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Trying to restart handing on the faith, so today is as good a day as any to make it an even half hour. We'll go ahead and read from CCC 2850, just four or five paragraphs that explain the last petition of the Lord's Prayer. But deliver us from evil. And in Greek, it can mean evil one as well. The last petition of our Father is also included in Jesus' prayer. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. It touches each of us personally, but it is also we who pray in communion with the whole church, for the deliverance of the whole human family. The Lord's Prayer continually opens us to the range of God's economy of salvation. Our interdependence in the drama of sin and death is turned into solidarity in the body of Christ, the communion of saints. In this petition, evil is not an abstraction, but refers to a person, Satan, the evil one, the angel who opposes God. The devil, Diabolos, is the one who throws himself across God's plan and his work of salvation accomplished in Christ. a murderer from the beginning, a liar and the father of lies. Satan is the deceiver of the whole world. Through him, sin and death entered the world, and by his definitive defeat, all creation will be freed from the corruption of sin and death. Now we know that anyone born of God does not sin, but he who is born of God, God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world is in the power of the evil one. The Lord, who has taken away your sin and pardoned your faults, also protects you and keeps you from the wiles of your adversary, the devil, so that the enemy who is accustomed to leading you into sin may not surprise you. One who entrusts himself to God does not dread the devil. If God is for us, who is against us? That's a quote from St. Ambrose. Victory over the prince of this world was once for all won at the hour when Jesus freely gave himself up to death to give us his life. This is the judgment of this world, and the prince of this world is cast out. He pursued the woman, but had no hold on her. The new Eve, full of grace of the Holy Spirit, is preserved from sin and the corruption of death, the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption of the Most Holy Mother of God, Mary, ever Virgin. Then the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring. Therefore, the Spirit and the Church pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, since his coming will deliver us from the evil one." When we ask to be freed from the evil one, we pray as well to be freed from all evils, present, past, and future, of which he is the author or instigator. In this final petition, the Church brings before the Father all the distress of the world, along with deliverance from the evils that overwhelm humanity. She implores the precious gift of peace and the gift of the grace of perseverance in expectation of Christ's return. By praying in this way, she anticipates in humility of faith the gathering together of everyone and everything in him who has the keys of death and Hades, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Deliver us, Lord, we beseech you, from every evil, and grant us peace in our day, so that aided by your mercy we might be ever free from sin and protected from all anxiety, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, a quote from the prayer after the Our Father in the Mass. So interdependence, that's really important. We pray on what behalf of one another because we are a communion of body of persons. And many religions, I think, especially Buddhism, you know, they know that everything's interdependent. But in Christianity, we have something new. We see that we are dependent because we are members of the body of Christ. And we are called to the friendship or the communion or the union together of saints. So that last one's really important. Really gets you thinking, doesn't it? To be freed from all evils, past, present, and future, of which he is the author or instigator. Firstly, I think a lot of people need to be set free from the sense that their life has been ruined or the regret from the sins that they have confessed and received absolution for. You know, we could talk about Mary, and hopefully Mary also helps you be free from all those evils, including regret, and also the various ways in which the devil, who really does have power, even though he's already been, as it were, the title deed, so to speak, has been transferred from Satan to Christ in the passion and resurrection. And yet we see that we still give power to him through our evil works, through falling into temptation. And then we lose what Christ wants for us, and he starts to set up kind of this dragon that's going to war against the woman, Mary, the Church. And so anyway, that's our time of reflection. Hope that it helps you to form a knowledge of God and a knowledge of everything that God wants you to know. Have a great rest of your day.